Everyone, welcome to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It's 4:30 p.m. on the 30th of July. This show is mostly focused on the writings of Edward Albert Meyer, who is a man in his middle 80s. He lives in Switzerland, about 35 kilometers east of Zurich, in a place they call Hinterschmidrüti. Hinter means behind. Schmidrüti is a village there, a small village that's nestled among the pine forests and the snow-covered mountains of northern Switzerland. When Billy was a young boy, he grew up in Bulak. And I believe his street name was Niederflox, 1253 Niederflox. And around 1943-44, he started to get telepathic messages from a man named Svoth, who landed his strange pear-shaped craft near Billy's home. And eventually, I think it was Svoth's second visit where Billy got into the craft, or he would later write and say it felt as if he was being lifted up by ghostly hands. And Svoth took him up into Earth orbit and told him about his previous lives, that he had been the people that today we would call Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And that in those ancient times, in those other lives, he taught this universal teaching called the teaching of the spirit, which focused on the creational natural laws, or the laws of our universe. Now, these previous personalities of Billy's are what they call Vorgängers in the German, their predecessors. And Svoth was in some way associated with some of Billy's predecessors, particularly, I believe, Nocodemian, who was one of the people who was in this line of prophets, let's say. Although Nocodemian taught off-world, not on the earth. And he preceded the people that I just listed there. So Svoth was here as a mentor to teach Billy. And Svoth came from a world called Era, which is some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades, in a different space-time configuration than what we live in, and in a star system called the Pleiades star system that contains three inhabited planets, one called Era, which is the homeworld of Ta Quetzal Semyase Svoth, and about 550 million others. It also has some sister planets. In that Pleiades star system, there are three inhabited planets, Era, Askal, and Lucetta. I don't know really that much about those other planets. I never have seen a lot written about them. I know these worlds were terraformed. And I think it was something like 230,000 years ago. Although someone please check me on that. That's my memory. I believe most of the people that came to the Playaran system were led by Asael, and they were escaping the tyranny of Lyra Vega. It's really interesting. I think we're starting to fall into a tyranny here on the Earth as well. And maybe we'll get into that a little tonight. I'm not sure. But once Billy and Svoth were in the ship, Svoth put a device on Billy's head that gave him a wellspring of knowledge. It also protected his consciousness from those who might try to get in there and do some damage. It also restored some of his abilities to look into the future that he had in those previous lives that I was talking about. Svoth told Billy a bunch of things, like that he was lose his left arm in a bus accident. He was told about his wife and where he would meet his wife, and that she would turn against him, and that he was also told about how, the people in his group would even turn against him, to a certain degree, some of them. But during this incarnation, Svoth was here to kind of mentor Billy for 11 years and make sure he'd stay on the right path, because his goal in this life was writing down all these teachings that exist in books like Macht der Gedanken, The Mighty Thoughts, The Psyche, Die Art zu Lieben, The Way to Live, Talmud of Emmanuel by Judas Iscariot, and the Kelch der Wahrheit, the Goblet of Truth. And there's all this information in these books that will assist the people of the earth in their spiritual growth. And that's one of our big problems here, is we've kind of outgrown our technology has pushed us into areas where we are, it far outsteps our advancement spiritually. Now, one of the important concepts that Svoth taught Billy was the creation. And Svoth would tell Billy that everything in the universe is one, and it's all bound together. But Svoth explained that the creation is not a god or a father figure, that it's absolutely without gender, and it is both positive and negative in complete equality. The creation is neutral. And the creation, its intelligence, its power, is the greatest in its space and time structure. Now, our creation is bound to the laws of a higher consciousness power called the Ur creation. And the Ur creation created our creation out of its own idea. So the next higher power up from our universe is something called the Ur creation. And the Ur creation, or the Ur universe, is what our creation is evolving into. And there are all these 10 to the 24th power steps between the initial creation step, which our universe is in. It's actually in the initial phase that creation goes through. But it will eventually evolve into the absolute, absolutum level. And the absolute, well, the Ur creation, which is the next higher up level from our Dern universe, as it's called, DERN. The Ur creation is bound to the laws of a higher consciousness power called the Absolute Absolute. So, believe it or not, our universe is the lowest form of our of all creations. It has the lowest swinging waveform. It is the least old and the least developed. And our creation, which, by the way, is 46 trillion years old, is extremely young in terms of creations. And I know that's also hard to wrap your mind around. It's hard for me to. So our creation has the lowest swinging waveform. It's the least old. It's the least developed. It's at the very beginning of its evolution and is still 46 trillion years old. Which our scientists say that creations are, or that our creation is, our universe is no more than like 13 or 15 billion years old or something like that, because they look only at the matter and they only try to date the matter. They don't even know, I think, about something called fine matter. And they don't know about our sister universe. When our universe was created out of the Zohar, there was also a universe created called the Tao universe. And one of Billy's contacts comes out of the Tao universe, a woman named Askit, who sent a robotic craft to meet Billy on top of a hill in Switzerland where Billy would often sit and think or meditate. And that robotic craft took Billy off to the Great Pyramid, where he eventually met with Askit, who landed her ship, and Billy got to see her ship. And one of the most interesting things is that Billy felt as if he knew her and that he missed her in this lifetime. So there must have been some previous life connection between Askit and Billy, and she told him to search his memories to try to find that information. Just as there had been some past life connection between Billy and Svath in a previous life. So eventually, Askit and Billy went far below the Giza Plateau into some old cubicle constructions that were like 70,000 years old, where Billy saw the hallway of the Giza intelligences there, and he saw these large ships and smaller ships and artifacts from the crucifixion of Christ, and this whole thing began to be overwhelming. And Askit and Billy left, and she spent about 2 days explaining to him how the Giza intelligences had very cruel leaders that were on the earth in ancient times, and that much of our Old Testament really documents the life of one of these extraterrestrials who was called Jehovah or Hen, and that these were not the creator of the universe. These were men, and there was a whole lineage of them. Jehave had a son, I believe, Jehovan. And Jehovan had a son who was, I believe, was Arisaim. And then Arisaim, he lost his rulership to Hen, who was Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament. I know that's shocking and blasphemous to people that are still focused in the thinking of the earth religions. And that's one of the terrible things that the people of the earth have been a slave to is the religions. And it has been very damaging, because it doesn't allow our consciousness to evolve. These religions interrupt the normal and development of the thinking. And for example, and it was very much Constantine and his minions that caused the library at Alexandria, Egypt to be burned. And if that library hadn't have been burned, that we would be spacefaring right now. We would have been spacefaring back in the 1800s, in the early 1800s. We would have, in fact, been visiting other worlds by then, inhabiting other worlds by then. So that's how damaging, so astonishingly damaging the religions have been to our evolution. I saw a, and I hope I can find it again. I think I put it somewhere in my bookmarks. It was a wonderful movie with Wendell Stevens and Elsie Moser. And the guy that interviewed them was named Tom Ivany. I don't know if I'd ever seen him before, but it's very interesting to see Wendell Stevens as a somewhat younger man when he was in his 50s, who spent, he was the guy that did the real research that really brought the world the Meyer case. And I like to see him. I like to hear what he has to say. He's a very special kind of intellect and a person that's truly open-minded and searching for the truth, which today is very rare indeed. Maybe I'll jump into a little bit of the Might of Thoughts now. We've been talking about feelings and the importance of feelings and how feelings grow out of the thoughts, and feelings are life-sustaining and they help us to simplify things. You know, there's a lot of complications in life and we get overwhelmed. We get too much stimuli, internal and external stimuli, and the feeling allows us to simplify all that, and we can process things quicker. It's kind of like if you're in some heated discussion with three other people, and pretty soon the whole discussion is just going to bring up a certain feeling. And if you come in contact with those people again, the next time you see them, you'll get that feeling probably that you had before. That's the way the mind kind of copes with things. It simplifies things. It makes life easier and bearable. It also allows us the thoughts not to run too hot, because feelings are very important and they're very useful. And we shouldn't fight them and try to eliminate them. But I think we've been conditioned to do that, particularly by, you know, religions. Feelings have an existential and life-sustaining significance. They shouldn't be abolished. They shouldn't be manipulated. Feelings enable quick and automatic processing of stimuli, which is either external or internal. So feelings influence the psyche. The psyche controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual, of the material consciousness. We have a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. Your spiritual consciousness is never, it never dies, and it evolves over many, many, many lifetimes, over billions upon billions of years. It evolves through six stages of, well, seven stages of evolution. The first five are purely physical. The sixth is partly physical and partly spiritual. And then we have seven levels of purely spiritual evolution where we don't even have a body. So that spiritual consciousness will be with you always. Every unique lifetime, you have a unique material consciousness. with a unique personality. Because the reincarnation is designed for the evolution of that spiritual consciousness. So we want each individual life, the material life, to be different. You know, there are probably some commonalities that always run through there. But we don't want to get in a rut. And what happens 28 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, the spirit form leaves the spirit realm, which is like an energy band around the planet, and it enters into the physical body of the human being. The spirit form then lodges in the middle brain in a special area called the superior colliculus. And it sends out energy like a lattice structure to the whole body and causes the heart to beat. And the brain starts to think almost right away. And even though it's a little fetus in there, only 21 days, there is profound thought. So it's probably after the 21st day, we should not have any kind of abortion because there is thinking in the womb. The spirit form has come in. The new material consciousness, which by the way was created in the spirit realm in like a storage area called the overall consciousness block, where the spirit form works to develop the new consciousness. Now, one of the things that comes through all the lifetimes are these evolutive values, which are love and confidence and optimism and the ability to analyze, to have self-discipline, to be a leader, all these different kinds of skills, thoughts, evolutive values are programmed into the subconscious. So you have a subconscious that's just completely filled with information right when you come in, even though the material consciousness knows nothing. I mean, it literally knows nothing. Before you're born, when that spirit form enters the womb of the mother and then it enters into the superior colliculus of that little tiny little 21-day-old fetus. You know, the much of the memory could be stored in this subconsciousness as well, but I know a lot of it's also stored in what they call the storage banks, which are in the universe, in the solar system, in the planet, in the galaxy. There are these storage banks. I don't know how to access them. Billy has that skill to access them. But the human being has the material consciousness and the spiritual consciousness. Now, the spiritual consciousness will send you impulses of wisdom. They are direction determining. Billy's third contact, Semyase, would say that the spirit form records everything that you do, all of your impulsations, and will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong if you've learned to pay attention to it. So it seems to me that what we recognize is the feelings first, because the feelings grow out of the thoughts. And the feelings are a simplification of the thoughts, because the thoughts, you know, cover many different complicated areas, where the feeling is a summary and they're life sustaining. So the spirit form sends you the impulse that says, hey, this thinking is right. Or, hey, this thinking is wrong. So you have to be aware of how you're thinking or your actions and your speech is affecting others around you. Are you passing on neutral, positive thinking, or are you passing on, negative, unhealthy thinking? Some negative thoughts are still evolutive, but many negative thoughts are dangerous and they're very damaging, and we shouldn't be repeating those kind of thoughts ourselves. The psychically disturbed human being must necessarily also learn to free him or herself from his or her wrong assumptions. And these wrong assumptions are things that happen more often than we realize. If you're trying to solve a technical problem and you've made a wrong assumption, you can go way down the wrong path and waste a lot of time. It's the same thing in life if you make a wrong assumption. So we have to kind of verify it or disprove at the beginning of our thought, our train of thoughts, whether our assumption is wrong. And we also have thoughts and feelings that are wrong sometimes, and we shouldn't be convinced by them. Connected with that at the same time is the working out of new alternative and realistic thoughts, through which corresponding feelings are also produced. So we need to test the validity of our thoughts and create realistic new thoughts. Realistic thoughts through which corresponding feelings are also produced, which influence the burdened psyche. So if your thoughts are negative and unhealthy, your psyche becomes burdened. But if you think in a neutral, positive, healthy way, that will free the psyche from that burden and help the human being to consciously work on and overcome specific emerging problematic situation and make it better. However, this is only the second step. There's a couple steps you have to make when you're kind of recovering your thinking process. And if you need the second step, then maybe you might even think of a psychotherapist or a schooled person. But I think for a lot of people that the self therapy is probably okay and enough. And I think this book is very, very healthy. So we actually, in a way, we're kind of programming our consciousness. Or what might be better way to think of it is you're forming new thoughts and feelings. If your old thoughts and feelings have run away from you, try to think of something completely neutral, like a wish dream. You're just something completely neutral. You're taking out your trash or you're raking your leaves in your yard, or you're sweeping your garage, something completely neutral, and get your mind off the thoughts that are plaguing you. The mind of the thoughts is called for because it determines the prosperity and adversity of the human being's psyche and the consciousness and the subconsciousness, and determines the state of the human being's body. Even your thinking has a tremendous influence on your body as well. Well, that was an interesting program. I did not plan it to go that way. It sometimes just takes on a life of its own. Anyway, I hope you have a great day. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Ohio XO Politics.